All right, it works a lot better if you turn the mouse on. There we go. Now we're got something going. Ah, what's up, fuckers? Somalia keep spitting out babies and send them to the United States to pay taxes so boomers can get Social Security.
You can scream and shout with all your might.
Ah, you can scream, shout, whine, cry, snivel, piss, moan, look for motherfucking safe space. This ain't it. You can shove your opinions up your ass the way Biden's cock has something to keep it company.
Either you are wrong or I am right.
Don't forget, my friends and my enemies, the ever-present, the most likely, the third possibility, you are wrong and I am right. In addition to that, you are welcome. Oh, you are welcome. You say, great one. Thank you. Thank you so much, great one, for coming on the internet and yelling at the internet and screaming out bad words and making Jew jokes and all this other, because without you, great one, what would there be to entertain me in my life? I don't know. You need to ask yourself these questions. What would you do? What will you do when the great one goes away? What will be your next source of entertainment? I don't know. I can't answer this question. Only you can answer this question. And like the girls say, you do you, because YOLO. Okay? And well, great one. But who is me? How do I know? Well, it depends. I mean, what's your sign? What time of year was it when your parents decided to fuck? Because that's what determines your personality. And that's settled science, my friends. Settled science. All right, where the hell was I? Let me find my place right here. In this here book. Okay. Research suggests, is this where I left off? The fuck did I leave off? Yeah, this is it. Research suggests that a country's peak potential for economic growth occurs when the proportion of the population that is of working age, 15 to 64, is larger than the proportion that is of non-working age. Really, no shit. So we mean when your country's going to have the peak potential for economic growth when the number of producers outnumbers the number of parasites. Really? No shit. You know, people with testosterone sort of instinctively understand this. But you know who doesn't have testosterone?
Women! Women!
Yes. If you want economic growth, the number of producers has to outnumber the number of parasites. This is true throughout the world, but changes are afoot on this front too. God, women can't write. Since the 1960s, what happened in the 1960s? Since the 1960s, the proportion of the population that's of working age increased in high-income countries, crossed the significant 65% threshold in the late 1970s, then remained relatively steady for the next two decades. Then, so the 70s and the 80s, the last time we had an economy, then started to change in 2005 as the population of working age people began to decline in these countries. And as of 2017, in 12 of 34 high-income countries throughout the world, the proportion of the population of working age is less than 65%. That's problematic on many levels. Page 162, let's see. Let me just keep going here. Shifts such as these can have profound implications for economic vibrancy as well as cultural and social conditions of a particular region. Oh, really? No shit. In these countries, changes in the proportion of working age adults to older adults could have such a significant effect on economic productivity that it will likely lead to later retirement, well after the age of 65, which is already occurring in the United States, Australia, and Japan. Well, yeah, you can't retire. If the economic conditions don't allow for you to retire, you have to keep working. These changes mean that by the time you are over 65, you may not be able to draw Social Security payments or Medicare or have access to the health care you need if there aren't enough people to provide it. Well, yeah, no shit. Notably, Japan's proportion of the population that's of working age has dropped to less than 60%. In Japan, the 65-plus proportion of the population was 6% of the total in 1960 and surged to a whopping 27% in 2018. These days, there aren't enough healthcare workers to care for the elderly population, and restrictive immigration laws aren't helping. Yes, if only Japan would let the Somalians in, all their problems would just go away. You know, and this brings us back to the fucking fags in the manosphere who are running around telling men, you know, don't have children, don't have children, don't have children, don't have children. Once again, because there might be some stupid people who listen to this podcast, I get tired of having to explain this shit for the benefit of the small number of stupid people who might hear this. But I'm not saying go out and impregnate the first woman you find and spit out as many babies as possible. You can do things, but you can do them intelligently. And this is the problem. Well, I'll talk about this more in the future because I've had a revelation. I've had many revelations, and this isn't that big of a revelation. It's just that I never actually articulated it before until I was sitting there one day and thinking to myself, and it popped into my brain. I realized that's exactly what's going on. But there's all the idiots out there in the manosphere, and they're not the only idiots on the planet Earth, but their whole shit, you know, it's just telling men, don't ever have children, don't ever have children, don't ever have children. You can have children. You have to just do it intelligently. But the Manospherians don't want you to have children, period. And this is because most of them at this point, they're old enough that they know they're going to get their Social Security. And well, they don't really give a shit about anyone other than themselves. Even though they're on the internet, they're posing as, oh, I'm red-pilling men because I care about men and I don't want men to be hurt by women anymore. Okay, but you're also actively participating in the destruction of Western civilization and our nation and our culture and our heritage and our people and everything that could be in the future, you know, like space stations and moon bases and undersea exploration where the submersibles don't implode and generally being amazing, like, you know, white men have been up until the time that they lost control of their women. So in this sense, and this isn't the revelation, I'm not telling you what the revelation is, because I'll talk about it when I talk about it. But in this sense, the red pillars, the manospherians, they're really no different than the feminist. Because the result of mindlessly heeding their directives is exactly the same. What does feminism tell women? Don't reproduce. What does the red pill tell men? Or I should say the manosphere. What does the man? Because the red pill is just waking up. The red pill is coming out of the matrix, which is completely different from the manosphere. Because guys, here's the thing: if you're actually red pilled, if you've exited the matrix, you don't just recognize feminism for what it is, and you don't just recognize the state for what it is, and you don't just recognize the Jews for what they are. If you've taken the red pill and you've exited the matrix, you also recognize the manosphere for what it is. The manosphere is a group of people that want you to be sterile and want you to be a consumer. They want you to not have children, and they want you to waste your money on frivolous bullshit. Exactly the same as what feminism wants for women. Don't have children, have a fur baby, watch Netflix, have a career, make money, spend, 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 spend. What does the manosphere tell you? Don't have children. Get a dog. Focus on your career. Make a lot of money. Spend, spend, spend. It's the same fucking thing. If you're actually red-pilled, you see all of this. Meanwhile, the birth rate is down to 1.4. We're back in Japan now. The birth rate is down to 1.4. Sperm counts are low, and fewer males are being born compared to females, as often happens in response to environmental stressors. I think we talked about that in this book previously, but just to reiterate, yes, this is a known biological function. If you have a group of animals and there's stresses, environmental stresses, biological stresses, whatever, where the population is in danger, natural selection, evolution, whatever it is, kicks in and more females will be born so as to help elevate the population back up. Looking to see where I need to read. Give me a second. To page 164, last full paragraph. Okay. At the same time, more women of childbearing age are putting their careers first. Japan has also been infected by feminism. That's why their birth rate is down to 1.4. More women of childbearing age are putting their careers first and postponing or rejecting marriage and motherhood. The Japanese culture places such a premium on professional success and long work hours that many people of reproductive age reportedly aren't even interested in having sex, according to multiple sources. So just like here in the United, they're asexual. They're not even interested in sex, much less children. I have a career. My career is going to bring me fulfillment. This has supposedly given rise to, quote, celibacy syndrome, unquote, which has been described as a decline in the sexual interest and activity or even romantic relationships among young adults in Japan. The reasons for this sexual slump aren't well understood. Yes, they are. The reason you can't understand them is because you're a woman. And you know who doesn't have testosterone, which allows you to figure out the obvious?
Women! Women!
No, the reasons for the sexual slump are pretty fucking obvious. I've never even been to Japan, but I can probably figure them out. Number one, feminism. Number two, feminism. Number three, consumerism. Number four, selfishness. Number five, my chemicals and my pollutants and my fucking birth control pills. What's the percentage of Japanese women that are medicated for their personalities? None of this is difficult to figure out unless you're a fucking woman. In which case, it's impossible to figure out because you want to cosplay that you're a scientist. You want to LARP that you're a scientist. LARPing is the better word. You want to LARP that you're a scientist while at the same time talking about how wonderful it is that we're forming a brave new world of inclusion and diversity with all these non-binary, neurodivergent persons of indeterminate gender. The reasons for this sexual slump aren't well understood by me because I'm a stupid bitch. As an article in The Independent noted in 2017, quote, "The fertility crisis has left politicians in Japan scratching their heads as to why youngsters are not having more sex," unquote. If you can't figure out, if you can't look at the young people in the world around you and figure out why they're not interested in having sex, maybe you shouldn't be a politician. I don't know what the average Japanese youngster looks like, but I look at youngsters here in the United States. Why aren't they interested in having sex? Gosh. Why would they be interested in having sex? Most of them are ugly as fuck. They're fat, they're smelly, they're covered in tattoos. They have no social skills. Why would they not be interested in sex? I can't figure it out. They have no future. They have no money. They have no driver's license. They can't afford a car. Naturally, there are theories ranging from the enduring social values of modesty and purity in Japan, which make the prospect of casual sex difficult to navigate. Okay, see, this is women. Casual sex is not the same thing as getting married and having children. That has nothing to do with it. There's no reason. Casual sex. See, to women, casual sex, which leads to getting impregnated, which leads to being a single mother, that's not the same thing. Women can't fucking differentiate. Just spitting out a baby and not having a father is not the same thing as having children in a family unit where you have a father so that the children don't grow up to be school shooters. But women are too dumb to understand this kind of stuff. There are theories ranging from the enduring social values of modesty and purity in Japan to young Japanese men's and women's changing life desires. For example, being more dedicated to careers. Thank you, feminism. Not wanting to have traditional relationships, and showing an increased interest in online pornography. Of course, it's pornography. I'm surprised she didn't put in a thing about video games. Whether hormonal factors or dietary influences play a role is a matter of conjecture. No, it's not. There's no conjecture whatsoever. Japan is just as goddamn polluted in all the ways that it can be polluted, okay? The noise and stress pollution of living in a big city, the chemical pollution of drinking contaminated water, the self-contamination pollution of taking medication for your personality and your ADHD and your vaping and your marijuana and everything else. There's no conjecture here. There's no conjecture whatsoever. The extent of these things is going to have some variability, of course. I don't know. Do kids in Japan smoke as much dope as kids in the United States? I don't fucking know. But some of them are smoking the dope. They're doing some other kind of drug. How many women in Japan are medicated for their personality? I don't know, but the number is non-zero. I don't have to conjecture on this. But some evidence suggests that testosterone is lower among Asian people and that the greater consumption of soy foods, which are rich in estrogenic compounds, may have a libido-compromising effect in men. Really? No shit. It may be that, in Japan, a perfect storm of physiological, cultural, dietary, and environmental influences is leading to a loss of that loving feeling. God, women can't fucking write. Stop trying to be cute. For those of you who don't get it, the song, You've Lost That Loving Feeling, that loss of a loving feeling, right? This is not cute. It's not funny. It's not creative. It's just distracting. It makes you look like a dumb bitch. Interestingly, this conscious or unconscious uncoupling, along with the so-called epidemic of loneliness that's been identified in the country, has spawned some new social inventions to help people feel less alone. Because the old invention called having friends is not sufficient anymore. Because nobody has friends anymore, thanks to the internet. In Japan, anyone who wants to have a child without actually having one can buy a toy-sized robot companion that has the mental acuity of a fifth grader. In the United States, of course, women just get dogs. For $3,000 or more, men can purchase lifelike anatomical female sex dolls for companionship. It's not unusual to see men taking these dolls for walks in wheelchairs in public. Wonder how long until that becomes normal in the United States. Actually, it won't, because here in the United States, women are so opposed, as we all know, women are so opposed to sex dolls because, of course, women recognize the danger of the sex doll replacing them. And my God, if the beta males on the internet have something that can replace a woman and they don't have to join its OnlyFans account, then women will actually feel a little bit of pain for the first time in their life. The Japanese artist Tsukimi Aryo has been crafting mannequins and positioning them throughout the tiny village of Narego in southern Japan in an effort to make the place feel more populated as people move or die. Recently, an industry has sprung up that allows lonely people to rent family members. Actors who play the role of spouses, parents, children, or grandchildren for temporary companionship. In the United States, we just call that a prostitute. You have sex with her, she listens to you, she pretends to listen to you, then you give her money and she goes away. It's a wonderful thing. One of the hazards of the occupation, client dependency. Sometimes clients just don't want to say goodbye to these rented relatives. A salon owner in San Francisco, Shiari, 43, was raised in Japan and came to the United States in 2001. Married with two children, she and her family traveled to Japan every few years to visit relatives, including Shiori's younger sister, who is single and doesn't want to have children. While visiting Japan in August 2019, Shiori was struck by the sense that, quote, people are lonely. Country schools have been reduced to one-room schoolhouses because there are so few children. Instead of dating, young adults prefer to relax by going to a manga cafe or an internet cafe, unquote. The population of Japan has been shrinking steadily since the 1970s. By 2065, it is expected to drop to about 88 million compared to 126.5 million in 2018, with fewer babies being born and a growing elderly population. Japan is facing the prospect of an unparalleled demographic crisis that could have significant ripple effects socially, economically, and politically. To try to avert this looming crisis, oh God, some local governments in Japan have been offering cash incentives to encourage young women to get busy having babies. Oh, I thought I was going to say they were trying to import niggers from Somalia. While some evidence suggests that this approach has spurred a slight uptick in fertility rates in certain areas, whether it will last remains to be seen. And maybe this will offer us a little microcosm of what's going to happen in the United States when the same thing hits here. It'll be interesting to see how Japan deals with all of this. Well, I mean, it's not going to deal. It's going to crash and burn. I mean, there's nothing you can do about it. Even if the Japanese government decides, hey, Somalians, come on over. I mean, that's still only going to prolong the suffering. It's still going to crash and burn eventually. Page 167, first 168. Okay. All of these societal shifts should make us wonder, who's going to run the show in the future if not enough children are being born to support the world that we've built? Well, nobody's going to run it. Somebody, we won't mention any names of any podcasters, have told you that the electricity is going to go out in your lifetime. One of the reasons it's going to go out is because the affirmative action people won't be able to know how to keep it going. But it's also going to go out because there's just not going to be enough people to keep it going. Right? When everybody is fucking 70 years old and buying RVs and driving around the country, where are you going to get all of the people that are going to keep the electricity on? Who is going to support the world that we've built? The answer is nobody. It's going to start to collapse. Who will take care of our older adults? Who gives a shit? Euthanize them. What does this mean for the fate of the human race? Well, it means that we're going to degenerate into fucking half-breed retards. That's what it means. Whether it's because fewer males are born or women outlive men, the ratio of women to men will continue to increase. Of course, unfortunately, these will not be attractive women. They will be old, fat, mentally ill, physically unhealthy women. As part of the demographic shift, and an older population will be composed. Whoo! Older demo. Hold on. Takes 12. The ratio of women to men will continue to increase as part of the demographic shift, and an older population will be composed largely of women. Yes, it will. And if the decline in sperm levels really is occurring at a faster rate in Western countries than in developing countries, as the current data suggests, there will be socioeconomic shifts throughout the world. Yes, there will. The world's population is in flux on multiple levels, and this much uncertainty is unnerving for the future of social support programs, economic stability, national and international planning decisions, and other factors that are fundamental to a country's ability to operate efficiently. These shifts can affect the functionality of individual countries as well as population shifts on the global stage. In 1950, high-income regions in Central and Eastern Europe and Central Asia accounted for 35% of the world's population. 2017, the populations of these countries constituted 20% of the world's population. Meanwhile, large population increases occurred in South Asia, Sub-Saharan Africa, Latin America, and the Caribbean, North America, and the Middle East as the Global Burden of Disease study found. When these trends are considered along with declining sperm counts, there's even more cause for concern. Not only are men becoming endangered, but the human race as a whole is too. Even if the will is there to reproduce and increase the birth rate, the machinery isn't as functional as it used to be for men or women. We have declining sperm counts, diminishing ovarian reserves, increasing miscarriage rates, and other reproductive related problems that can hamper success in the realm of baby making. But what's really important is that we stop global warming and that women get more abortions. What? Page 197. What the fuck am I talking about? There's no... Oh, wait, what? Oh, 197. I'm trying to read my own writing and decipher my notes. Hey, we're actually getting near the end. I might wrap this up in this episode. Page 197... Oh, then I said go on and on. How much on and on do I want to go to? All right, we'll figure it out. We'll figure it out. 197. As you undoubtedly know, some people profoundly distrust the safety of vaccines or fluoride in the water supply. I keep wondering, where are the people who are so upset about the presence of harmful EDCs in everyday products? Where is the outrage on this issue? Frankly, I continue to be astonished that more public health experts and regular citizens aren't more upset about these harmful substances. Gosh, I wonder why more people aren't more upset about all the harmful products, all the harmful chemicals, all the insecticides, all the contaminations in the water. Gee, I wonder why more people aren't upset about this. I'm not even going to go into it because this entire podcast series, I've been explaining to you why people aren't upset about this. They're stupid. They don't know about it. Propaganda, convenience, laziness, the misdirection of global warming, on and on and on. I not even going to fucking rant about it because there's no fucking point. I've been ranting about it for, what episode is this? Episode, shit, I didn't make notes. God damn it. I didn't put notes about where I left off in these things. I'll fucking figure it out. What am I on, like 9 episodes now? 10? I don't even remember. Then she goes into this whole chapter about, well, we know the answer. We know the solution to all of this, right? Regulation. We need government to regulate things because that's working so fucking well. You know what? I have no big finish on this one. That's it. That's the end of my notes. We're done. It's a poorly written book because it's written by a woman about a very important topic.